podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Let's take our Bibles this morning and open to a couple of passages. First to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25, and then to Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. So if you have your pew Bible, that's page 851 and page 834. But we'll start with Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And then Colossians chapter 3, and we'll read verses 16 and 17. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Heavenly Father, take your word this morning and apply it to our hearts. Help us, Father, to learn what it means to live together in community, to encourage one another, Father, to live out our calling before you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, there are 12 reasons why I've decided not to attend any more sporting events. One of those is because the coach never comes to visit me. The coach never comes to visit me after the game to find out what my opinion is. And then also, every time I go to a sports event, they ask for money. Every time I go, they ask for money. And then I noticed that the last time I was at a sporting event, the people who were sitting in the same row with me, they weren't very friendly. And the seats were hard. I mean, how do they expect you to sit through an entire sporting event on seats that are as hard as those? And then the referees made a decision that I didn't agree with. So I'm not coming back if I don't agree with every decision they make. And then I was sitting with a bunch of hypocrites. Some of these people, the only reason they came to the game was not to see the game, but to watch the people around them, to see what they were wearing. And then some of the games went into overtime, and I was late getting home. And we can't have that. And then the band played some songs that I had never heard before. How am I supposed to hum along with a song that I don't even know? And then the games are scheduled on my day to sleep in and run errands. How dare they schedule the games on the same day that I have so much to do? You know, when I was a kid, my parents used to take me to these sporting events. And they took me to so many games when I was growing up that I just got burned out. Now that I'm an adult and I can make my own decisions, I just don't feel like going anymore. And then, you know, since I read a book on sports, and I can just read my books on sports at home, I feel like I know more than the coaches do anyway. And then in addition to that, since I don't want my children to be brought up in these sports events, because I want them to choose for themselves which sport they enjoy. So I'm not going to bring them to the sporting events until they reach a certain age, and then they can make their own choices of which sport they enjoy. Now, if you haven't figured it out yet, these are excuses that people use when they stop coming to church, right? Do you see how silly they sound when we use them in the context of sporting events? I think to the Lord they sound just as silly when you apply them to our gathering together as the church. So we are entering into a time here at the beginning of the year when we are talking about what it is we are committed to as a church body. It's a good time to remind ourselves of that, you know? And so we've called these the four G's. One of our Sunday school classes took the name the four G's. I was honored by that. That we gather, grow, give, and go. That these are four commitments that we make together as a church. They come directly out of the Word of God. But this morning I'd like to talk about committing as people to gathering together. And what an important commitment that is for the people of God. So this first passage that we read is pretty familiar to you, I'm sure. No. It says we should not stop meeting together. That there are some people, apparently, who are in the habit of not meeting together as the body of Christ. But we need to meet together as the body of Christ because it is only when we meet together that we can spur one another on and encourage one another to love each other and to do good works. And this is what happens when we're called together into the community of Christ. God has called us to be this people. And we have to come together in order that our lives might rub against one another, in order that we might be sharpened to become the people that He has called us to be. Now, you might think that it seems kind of stupid to preach a message about going to church to a bunch of people who are sitting in church on a rainy, cold January day, but there are some good reasons for it. One is to remind us all why we do what we do. It's a good thing from time to time to be reminded of why we do the things we do, because some of us get into a rut. Coming to church has become a habit. It's just something that we do every week. And we wouldn't think of not doing it because we're used to doing it. We've been coming to church on Sunday since we were in the nursery. Some of you have been coming to this church since you were in the nursery, right? We've been coming and coming and coming and coming, and it's easy just to come and forget. Well, why am I here again? Well, why did I wake up this morning and get dressed and come out and sit down? Why am I here? Because there are many reasons that people come to church. Some people come to church to be seen. It's important for them to know that somebody has seen them at church that week. Some people come to see what everybody else is up to. This is our time for social contact and fellowship. We just want to see other people. We want to be able to wear our Christmas threads that we got. You know, you need to wear them in these new church clothes. And where do you wear church clothes? Well, church. So of course you're going to come to church. You come to make friends. You come to church because you believe that church attendance will be one of the determining factors when you stand before the pearly gates. Some people believe this, by the way, that each time you go to church, an angel punches a card. Every time you go to church, an angel punches a card. Now, when you get to the pearly gates, Peter's going to be standing there, and he's going to pull your card. And he's going to look at that card. And if you are a few Sundays short, you're going to be thrown into the lake of fire. So some people believe this. Or worse than that, you'll do hard time in purgatory sitting through 10 times all the church services that you missed in your lifetime before you can get into heaven. Some would rather have the lake of fire. Let's be honest here. Some people believe this, that church is a mandatory responsibility. It's a regulation of the Lord. And it doesn't matter whether I hate it or love it. It doesn't matter if I'm bored to tears, if I sleep every Sunday. It doesn't matter. I have to be here because God says it. And if I'm not here, God's not going to like me anymore. And I might not get to heaven. I feel bad for people who believe that. I feel bad for people who are wrapped in that tight of a legalistic system that they don't know the grace of Jesus Christ who saved us by His death on the cross. Just by putting our faith in Him, He welcomes us into heaven as His children. And that coming to church, it's a privilege of those who have been saved. It's an opportunity for us to come together and give thanks to Him for what He's done. It's not responsibility. It's not drudgery. It's joy. It's a reason to live. So let's look at here at Colossians chapter 6 together, verse 16, because we need to be sure that we're here for the right reason. And it will be a good thing for us to examine the commitment of gathering together here today. Why are you here? You know, why are you here today? So, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 starts off like this. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. Now that word you there is a plural pronoun. So it is, let the message of Christ dwell among y'all richly, collectively. The message of Christ dwells among all of us. It's a part of the church. So you might read a passage of scripture like that and say, well, the message of Christ needs to dwell in me individually, which is true. However, when Paul wrote this, what he meant was the message of Christ, the gospel, the truth of the Word of God, it dwells and lives and comes alive in this group of people. And that is where the message of Christ dwells richly. God's Word is in book form in the Bible. Right, we know that. God's Word is in black and white in book form in the Bible. But God's Word is also to exist in our lives in the form of the church. The Word of God comes alive off of the pages of Scripture and into real life through the church. And that's one of the reasons we gather, is to come together to hear the Word of God so that it will dwell among us. And Paul writes not just that it would dwell among you, but that it will dwell among you richly. That the Word of God will live in us richly. Now, not Powerball lottery rich. It's not talking about that. It's not talking about cheesecake rich either. What it's talking about is, may the Word of God live in you all abundantly, right? Overflowing. May the Word of God dwell in us in that way. So at the very least, we gather, first of all, to hear Jesus. We gather to hear Jesus so that we can share the message of Jesus Christ with one another. That we have never gotten over the fact that this man, who is also fully God, would come into this world and die on the cross in our place. And we have not gotten over the fact that he has taken away our sins. We have not gotten over the truth that he rose again from the dead on the third day and he lives to this day. That has marked us and we have not gotten over it, and it's worth coming together whenever we can so that that truth will dwell in us richly so we can hear Jesus. Now, how do we do that? What's the best way for us to hear Jesus so that we can be like Jesus? Well, one way is through teaching. You know, this is the reason why we wake up on a Sunday morning and come to Sunday school and worship. And some of us come on Wednesday night, and some of us are involved in small groups. Some of those are organized, some of those are impromptu. We want to be together, to gather, to teach, and to learn. And there's a reason why I prepare all week to give this short message to you on Sunday morning. Not so you can be bored to tears, not so you can walk away and say, well, that wasn't so bad this morning, but so that you can learn the Word of God. And so that it can sink down deep into you in order that you might let the Word of God live in you more richly. Now, you can learn the Word of God at home by yourself. You know, you have a Bible at home. You can buy some books. You can listen to some videos or YouTube videos of Christian pastors teaching. A lot of good stuff out there. And you can do that at home. But there's one thing you probably won't receive if you study the Word of God by yourself. And maybe this is the key to moving the Word from your head to your heart to your hands. So you can get it in your head, and it never touches your heart, and it never comes out through your hands. He says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another. Boy, it's that second part. Through teaching and through warning. The word admonish means to warn one another. To warn one another, to exhort one another, to encourage one another, to get in each other's faces. You see, part of the job of the church as the body of Christ is for us to warn one another about when we get out of line, about when we're not living the way that God would have us to live, to get in each other's life to such an extent that we can challenge and encourage and exhort one another. And man, I've seen the mess that you've been making of your life lately. I've seen the mistakes that you've been making. And I think it's about time that you got on your knees and did something about that. It's time for you to get right with the Lord. So when's the last time a person has come to you and said such a thing? Well, maybe from the pulpit, maybe from Sunday school. But how about one-on-one when we come together as a church body? When's the last time somebody saw you and said, you know, I sense that there's something wrong? I've been looking at the way you've been living your life and it doesn't match up with what we've been learning in the Word of God. That is admonishment. Boy, the church needs to be doing that more and more as our culture changes in the opposite direction more and more. But you see, there's a problem. Our culture has become the don't judge me culture. Have you realized that? You're not allowed to say anything about somebody's life because that's judging, and judging is wrong, so don't judge me. And the next generation of people in the church are even more closed to admonishment than the generation we have here. It just continues. Look, if the Word of God is ever going to come alive in your life, it's going to be because of a combination of things. You are open to being taught the Word of God, right? You have to be open to being taught the Word of God. So we can come in as a brick wall and say, I know everything about God I need to know. And the words will bounce off us and we'll hear not a thing. We need to be open to learning, but then in addition to that, we need to be open to being corrected and admonished and confronted with the Word of God and to be held accountable for what's found in the pages of the Word of God. And if those things aren't happening, then Sunday morning is nothing more than story time, right? Let's pray. Thanks for coming. See you at next week's story time. Now, the church is about taking the Word of God and making it come alive. And sometimes that requires getting in each other's business. Sometimes it requires judging one another. Now, you may say, well, Jesus said you shouldn't judge, lest you be judged. You know that word for judge that Jesus uses there can also be translated, don't overjudge. Don't judge people too harshly. It's not about not judging people at all. In fact, the Word of God is filled with opportunities for us to judge one another as long as that judgment is based in truth. And as long as that judgment is for the purpose of helping someone in their walk with God, then that judgment is correct. It's when we harshly overjudge one another that we get in trouble. You've seen it in football games before. You know, the quarterback throws a perfect spiral into the left corner of the end zone, right? Beautiful pass. Just as the receiver cuts to the right. And then the ball's just hanging there in the air, and the opposing player grabs it and takes it. And rather than an easy touchdown, there's an interception. And the camera cuts to the sideline. And the quarterback is doing one of two things. He's either over there trying to console his receiver who's got his head in his hands, knowing that it won't be long before he has to throw another pass to that same receiver. And he wants to encourage him and lift him up, get him back on the right page. Or he's in his face yelling at him. You've seen this before. You need to get your act together. You need to learn the plays. You were supposed to cut left and you cut right. You left me hanging out there. You're making me look stupid. And so we see this take place in the sports world all the time. Nobody walks over and says, excuse me, Mr. Quarterback, but that's not very nice. That's not a nice thing to do. You're not supposed to judge your receivers. Don't you know that's wrong? Look, when Jesus said, don't judge one another, he meant don't hurt one another through judgment. But for the sake of the church, we need to be encouraging and exhorting one another to lift one another up, no matter how uncomfortable it can be at times. Because our job is so much more important than a stupid football game, right? Our job as Christians is so much more important than throwing a pass. And sometimes you just need someone to tell you that you aren't running the proper route. With all wisdom, Paul says, teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. We need to speak the truth in love, in a winsome, wise way. So we gather to exalt, or we gather to hear Jesus through teaching and also through warning, but we also gather to exalt Jesus, to exalt him. And it's interesting that the Apostle Paul here says that we need to teach and admonish with wisdom, and he says through, so somehow the teaching is connected with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, and singing to God with gratitude in our hearts, that there is some singing that's taking place here. We are to exalt Jesus in our singing. So some people wonder, why is it when we come to church we got to sing? You know, what is this, a karaoke bar or something? What's the deal with that? There's nowhere else in our world really where you get together with a group of people and sing. You know, maybe back in the old days it was something like that. You know, follow the bouncing ball, right? And you would sing together. But it doesn't really happen in our world anywhere else anymore except for the church, and maybe if you're drunk in a bar somewhere, or maybe you're at a ball game, right, and you're singing the fight song. It really doesn't take place anywhere. Where else do we go to get together with a group of people and sing? So Paul says we need to get together and gather together to exalt Jesus in our singing. And he mentions hymns, psalms, and spiritual songs. And it's connected to getting the message of Christ to dwell in us richly. You know, there's something that happens when we sing these songs like we did this morning. It's that the words, the lyrics of those songs, the godliness of those lyrics, the truth of those lyrics, especially when they come right from the Word of God, they get ingrained in us. We remember them. They become a part of us. And then the Word of God dwells in us richly. Right, we walk through the week humming those songs and singing those songs. Nothing dwells in us like a song. You will forget probably 99.9% of what I say in a sermon. But chances are the song we sang this Sunday will still be rumbling through your heart and your mind later on in the day. Why is that? Well, it's the way God created us. And so Paul says we need to allow the message of Christ to dwell in us through singing. But it's different for each of us. And that's why I think Paul's using different types of songs, different kinds of songs. You know, Bible interpreters have tried to tell these things apart. What's the difference between a psalm, a hymn, and a song from the Spirit? How are these three things differently? And I don't think anybody really gets it. I think the point here is that there is to be a variety, right? It would be easier for us if Paul had said something like, well, you got jazz, you got the blues, you got light contemporary rock, you've got disco from the 70s, and we need to use all this stuff. The bluegrass, all of it we need to use in order to allow the Word of Christ to dwell richly in us. There's a variety. You know, he could have just said songs, you know, sing some songs together. But instead he included three types because he knows we are a variety of people and we need a variety of songs with a variety of voices and a variety of instruments that are found in the Bible as well. And that's one of the things that I enjoy about worship at Quaker Gap. I don't know from Sunday to Sunday what kind of group I'm going to see up here. Whether it's going to be a Southern Gospel soloist, whether it's going to be a bluegrass group. We need the bluegrass group to get together, by the way. It's been a little while. Whether it's going to be a women's trio, the choir, a praise band, and you know what? Personally, I love it all. You know, there might be some of you who say, well, I like that group, but I don't like that group so much. But whatever it is, there is a variety for a reason, because we are a variety. Look around. We are a variety of people from a variety of places, variety of backgrounds, a variety of things that we enjoy. We are to sing to God, but it's not so much the music that matters as the attitude. It's not the tune, it's the tude, okay? Not the music, but the attitude that matters. Because he says we should be singing to God, the end of verse 16, with gratitude in your hearts. So we're singing to whom? To God. And we're singing to God with hearts filled with gratitude. And at the end of verse 17, it says the same thing. Giving thanks to God the Father through Him. It's about gratitude to God. So we exalt Jesus in our singing and in our praise. When we come together as God's people, one of our responsibilities is to praise and to thank God and to glorify Him. And to sing to Him. Because He wants us to. And because He has earned it, we sing to Him. So we come together to praise our God. And if we're singing for any other reason, to show off our voice, because we like the tune, it's kind of catchy, or because we want to look spiritual when we're singing, then we're wrong. Because we are singing from the heart to God. And we gather to learn from Jesus through teaching and through the warning one another, admonishing one another. And we gather together to exalt Jesus in our singing and in our praise from the heart. And one more reason we gather according to this passage. It says, in verse 17, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever you do, it's to be done in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to Him. So one more reason is to represent Jesus. We gather together in order to allow the Word of Christ to dwell richly in us through the teaching of the Word and also through singing to Him. And once the Word of God dwells in us richly, then we have the ability to represent Jesus in what we say and in what we do. So something done in the name of someone is done to represent them. You recognize that. If it's done in the name of Jesus, it means that we're doing it as Jesus. We represent Jesus. If you're wearing a Walmart badge and walking around in Walmart, people are going to ask you for help. They're going to say, this person works here. They've got the badge, right? And if you treat them badly, they're going to assume and they're going to take it out on Walmart. They're going to say, that Walmart stinks because that person with that badge said something bad to me. They didn't treat me properly. Same is true of the church. We wear the badge of Jesus Christ. And how we act in this world will cause people to gain an impression of who Jesus is. You and I represent Jesus before the world because we wear the badge of Jesus Christ in this world. Paul says we need to do it in two ways, whether in word or in deed, he says in verse 17, in our talk and in our walk. We need to represent Jesus in what we say and in what we do, all done in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever we say, whatever we do, we are to represent Jesus well. So we gather together in order to represent Jesus well, whether we are the church gathered like we are today or the church scattered like we are on Monday morning. We are still the church. Both times, we are still the church. And people will gain an impression of who Jesus is by how we act and what we say, whether we are gathered or scattered, either for good or for bad. And we need to take that seriously. Lord, we need to pray. May we never, ever be an embarrassment or a dishonor to Your name. Let me never carry Your name with me to a place where it should never be. But notice how the representation of Jesus comes after the hearing and the exalting. You know, we need to pay attention when we read Scripture that the writer puts things in order. First, we hear Jesus. He dwells in us richly. His word comes alive in us. We hear Him and we admonish one another and we encourage one another. We grow in Him until His word is alive in our hearts and in our lives. And then we exalt Jesus and we give praise to Him and we sing to Him from our hearts. In a variety of different songs, we sing praise to our God. And then, once the word of God is dwelling in us richly, then at that point, we are qualified and ready to step out into the world and to represent Jesus. How dare we try to go out into the world and represent Jesus if those things aren't true of us? We can't represent Jesus without the Word of God dwelling in us richly. We can't go out and represent Jesus if our hearts are not first filled with gratitude for Him and we've had the opportunity to experience singing and to be uplifted together in doing that. How dare we try to represent Jesus without first being together in Him? Because what we do in this world is tied directly to what we do in this church body. What we do in this world, how we act in this world, what we say in this world is tied directly to what we do together as a church body. It has that much influence. See, your car runs on the fuel that you put into it, right? Whatever type of fuel you put into your car, that's the type of fuel your car is going to run on. It's either got to be gasoline or diesel, unless you have an electric car. So your car needs gasoline. Nothing else is going to do if your car runs on gasoline. You can't put corn oil in there. You can't fill it with beer. You can't fill it with water from your hose at the house. It's just not going to run properly if you try that. Same with your Christian life. You need to gather and to fill up with the Word and with praise. And only then, filled with the Word of God and filled with praise, can we effectively represent Jesus to this world. So I want us to think this morning about what it means to commit ourselves to gather and what our involvement in the body of Christ looks like. So how involved are we and why are we involved? I just want you to be reminded today from the words of the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and also from the book of Hebrews, I want you to remember this morning that we, as individual Christians, are not satellites floating by ourselves out in the world. No, we belong together. And we gather together. And this is where we find our strength. This is where we find our true reason for serving Him. And when we come together and we celebrate and we find joy and we study the Word together and we admonish one another, then at that time we have the capacity to step out and to obey Him in this world. But not until all that's taken place. We need to run on the fuel that God has prepared for our bodies to run on. And as the church, that fuel is called one another. It's called gathering. It's the body of Christ. Now, I will admit that there are times, right, when you just don't feel like being with this group of people. When someone just rubs you the wrong way. You know, someone says something that's just flat out wrong and you disagree with it. Somebody hurts your feelings. Somebody didn't come through for you at the time when you wanted them to come through for you. And you just don't feel connected. You feel broken. And there's nobody there that you feel should be there to lift you up. I understand that those things take place in the body of Christ. They happen all of the time. That's where we need to be for each other. To learn from the Word of God and to admonish one another and allow the Word of God to dwell richly within us. So that's when the church needs to come alive. So I want us to pray. I want you to pray as an individual, first of all, that God would give you the commitment to gather with God's people. Now, for some of you, your schedules, whatever it is you do, the rest of the week, this is the only time you can come. You're here on a Sunday morning, and this is a struggle for you. And that's great. Praise God that you are here, because there are a lot of other places you could be, right? I praise God that you're here. So that's wonderful. But, you know, there are other opportunities in addition to this. There are small groups that we'll be introducing soon. There are Sunday school classes that you could meet an hour before this and have a little bit more fellowship. There are also some of these impromptu gatherings of people who come together just to pray and to encourage one another. There are Wednesday night Bible study and our fellowship meal beforehand. There are other opportunities for you to come together. And if you have the ability, I want to encourage you maybe to commit to gather a little bit more, right? Not because I'm a pastor and I'm supposed to say that, right? But because the Word of God tells us that we need to be doing this because this is how we grow. So I want to encourage you in that. First of all, to pray between you and God. Lord, where is my commitment? Why am I here? God, give me the right heart. And then also that we would pray together as a church body. Lord, that you would help us to be the people you've called us to be. Help us, Lord, to be brave and courageous, to step out and to speak into each other's lives. Help us to be willing to receive what is being spoken, because in that is the way that we grow. And in that is the way that the Word of God dwells richly in us so that we can step out and represent Him the way that He would have us to represent Him. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ here today. Lord, each one that is here has made a commitment to you. This morning they woke up, they got dressed, they got in their car, they drove down here, and they're sitting here now. Lord, that is a commitment. And Father, I thank you for it. But Father, I pray that you might speak into our hearts today and teach us, Lord, what it means to even be more committed. Perhaps, Lord, we need to open ourselves up to more exposure as individuals, Lord, to be here more often for our brothers and sisters in Christ, to learn more, to sing more. Lord, speak to us and help us to know what is right for us as individuals. But Lord, I also want to pray for my church family here. I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege it is to be a pastor here in this church. And Father, for the opportunities that I've had over 10 plus years now, Lord, to just get to know these folks, to be invested in their lives, to know their hearts, to know their love for you, to see them step out in obedience to you, to watch some of them grow beyond where I would even think they could grow, Lord, but you have grown them. And so, Father, I praise you and I thank you for this group of people. But I pray, Father, that you would help us to take this word this morning, to commit ourselves to gather, Father, that we might learn from you, that we might admonish and warn one another, and Father, that we might be the church of Jesus Christ, singing praises to you and being filled with your Holy Spirit, so that as we step out into this world, whether together or separate, you are honored and you receive the glory and we represent you. So Lord, help us to be the people you've called us to be, to step out by faith, to do the things you've called us to do. But Father, inspire us by your word to do them first. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that we have here on Sunday mornings, whether it's Sunday school or in this service, but also Wednesday nights and small groups and other times when we meet together. Lord, I thank you for those precious moments that we have together. Use them, Lord, to help us to be proactive in each other's lives, to encourage one another, to be sharpened, to be ready to be the people you've called us to be. Because, Lord, as the world gets darker and darker, the light needs to huddle up to gather, Father, so that we will not be blown out, but so that, Father, we will reflect you in an even more bright way. Help us, Lord, to listen to what your word says and to commit ourselves to gather. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.